together from God's holy word.
A few verses in Numbers chapter 27. So Numbers chapter 27. We'll just read the first 8 verses of that chapter. So Numbers chapter 27. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then he shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter." Just for a few moments tonight, as the Lord helps us, I'd like us to meditate just on the few words at the beginning of verse 7. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Well, this account that we've read together about the daughters of Zelophehad is relatively unknown, isn't it? If we compare it to some of the well-known Old Testament accounts, the dramatic stories of David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den, really it's something that we rarely contemplate. And yet we read, don't we, in the epistle to Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so it is with this, perhaps we might think, rather obscure passage that we have in front of us in the book of Numbers. As we read it, you will have noticed that there is a rather tragic, a rather sad backdrop to this account. It seems that these five girls, these five daughters, were young. We know from the last chapter in Numbers that they were unmarried. They were children, young people. They were travelling through the wilderness with the children of Israel on their way to the land of promise. But their father, while they were still young, had died. Crucially for this account, they had no brothers. There were five daughters and no sons. And so tradition demanded that when the family eventually arrived in the promised land, in Canaan, for these girls there would be no land, no inheritance, no possession. It seemed a very clear injustice, and so bravely, young though they were, we read in verse 2 that they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, before the princes and all the congregation and they stated their case. And we can read what they said in verses 3 and 4. Their father had died. He wasn't among the company of that great rebellion of Korah. But this meant that they would be dispossessed. And so we read their request, their prayer, at the end of verse 4, "Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." I think in verse 5 we see the great wisdom of Moses, and a good word it is for us on a prayer meeting occasion. He didn't simply rely on what tradition demanded, nor did he simply copy what was going on in the pagan nations round about. We read this: he brought their cause before the Lord. Verse 5. He brought their cause before the Lord. And this was the verdict of Almighty God: the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. So with the help of the Lord, I hope, this evening, just in our brief meditation, I would like to do two things. First, really just to meditate and consider what this account means to us here tonight. What's the application, the spiritual application? What's the meaning? And then secondly, by way of conclusion, and again, necessarily briefly, three practical applications, particularly of this phrase, what it means to speak right. What it means to speak right. But I suppose the first thing that I want to notice here is the faith of these girls, young though they were. Here they are, travelling through the wilderness. Their father had died there. But they believed that one day, a day was coming when they would be out of the wilderness and would arrive safely in the promised land, the land of Canaan. Despite all the challenges, despite all the problems, despite the witness of the spies that had so terrified their father's generation, they believed the day was coming when they would be safely landed in Canaan, in the land of promise. That was the first thing. The second thing is that they believed that for each of the Lord's people in that land, there was a possession, there was an inheritance, there was a place appointed. And thirdly, they wanted a possession for themselves. It wasn't enough for them to know in some general sense that there was a land of promise. It wasn't enough for them to know that the Lord's people had an inheritance, a plot of land, a possession there. There was something personal here. This was their prayer, their cry in verse 4. "Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father." Their brethren had a possession, and they wanted one themselves. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. And you know, as I was meditating on this passage, as I was thinking of the spiritual application to us in our life here in Redhill tonight, this Tuesday evening, there was a word that was continually on my mind, and it's a word that is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it's this: "For they that say such things declare plainly." They that say such things declare plainly. What do they declare? They declare plainly that they seek a country, because now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." And so you can see the relevance to us tonight. If we're trusting in the Lord, if we know something of his grace in our hearts, then we too are journeying. Perhaps like these girls in this passage, we tonight feel as if we're in a wilderness, as the cares of life come in on us, whether we're at work or home or school, whether we have particular difficulties. We sometimes feel far off from God in this wilderness. And yet, like these daughters, if we are the Lord's people, we are journeying to a better country, to a heavenly Canaan, to a land of promise. And so tonight, by faith, we look beyond our immediate circumstances, as we're encouraged to do by Scripture. We look beyond and we look to a better world. We sometimes sing, don't we, the promise, land of peace, faith keeps in constant view. How different to this wilderness we now are passing through. But you know, as we were thinking, these daughters didn't just see the possession, they didn't just see the land of promise. They wanted to be sure of it for themselves personally. They wanted to know that they themselves had an inheritance. They could have said, what if my name should be left out? And what is it that assures us? What is it that gives us that assurance? Well, I believe it's this, and it links really to what Pastor was bringing before us in terms of the ascension on Sunday morning. As we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we trust in his finished work, we hear him whisper, do we not, these words, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that is the assurance that we have. That just like these daughters believed that there was a land of promise and wanted a possession for themselves, so this is the key to the possession in that heavenly Canaan, that promised land, that eternal world beyond this wilderness that we find ourselves in tonight. So it's a great encouragement, I hope, for us this evening. If our trust, and it's an important if our trust is in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in all of our struggles and in all of this wilderness, there is a place prepared tonight for us in glory. So the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. And I feel as though I could keep talking on the inheritance and the possession and the heavenly Canaan. But let me just, by way of conclusion, in the few minutes that we have before we come to prayer, come to three practical points. Just as an aside, I think there is a lot of interest and profit in this, in terms of the way in which Scripture teaches us of the dignity of girls and women, in complete contrast to what other tribes, pagan groups around were teaching. But that's another subject. I wanted really to bring before you three practical points on this speaking right. Speaking right. And the first is a searching one. It's clear from this passage, as it is from all of Scripture, that the Almighty God, the eternal God of heaven, hears every word that we speak. And more than that, he weighs what we say. The Lord Jesus, who had so many precious promises to speak, also had words of warning. And you'll remember that one of his words of warning was this: I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And that's a tremendously solemn and searching thought. And how often, I speak about myself, how often I need to be reminded of this when I come into difficult issues or feel tired or irritable, how easy to speak inadvisable words. You know, these daughters could very readily, and perhaps we might even think justifiably, become angry with Moses at the injustice that they were facing. If this is your religion, they might have said, we want nothing to do with it. How dare you treat us like this? But they didn't. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. And there is a prayer for each of us tonight as we think about our everyday conversation, and it's this: Lord, set a watch on the door of my lips. Set a watch on the door of my lips. So first point of practical application in speaking right in everyday conversation, in all that we do, wherever we are. Secondly, speaking rightly in prayer. Speaking rightly in prayer. We come together, of course, tonight to pray, and that's the purpose of our meeting. And this is a vast subject. I'm not going to open it up in any measure tonight. I just wanted to make one point under this heading. And that is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, commended a prayer. It was a prayer that he described in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the prayer was just seven words. He could have used this language that we have here in Numbers, that the publican spoke right. And of course you know what the prayer was. God be merciful to me. God be merciful to me. Paul said he would rather speak five words with the understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. And surely this language, the prayer for mercy, is the language that we desire for our daughters and our sons and our grandchildren and ourselves. The prayer of mercy. The prayer of mercy. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. And then thirdly and lastly, so first in everyday conversation, secondly in prayer, and then thirdly in thanksgiving and in testimony. You know, we read this rather interesting account in Numbers 27, and then we hear virtually nothing else about these girls. There's a glancing mention of them in the very last book of Numbers, but beyond that we read very little. But in my mind I like to picture them like the Ethiopian eunuch at the poolside of Gaza, having received this word from Almighty God himself that they go on their way rejoicing. And I like to picture them as they arrive finally, safely, in the land of promise, in Canaan itself, and among the children of Manasseh are appointed their plot, their land. How their hearts must have rejoiced, and how their prayer must have been one of thanksgiving, and how their testimony must have been one of praise to the God who had granted them their request. The Lord is good. And although our religion is more than speaking, surely if we know something of the love of Christ in our hearts, we will have, among other things that are passing on our tongue, a thanksgiving to God and a testimony to tell to others of his goodness to us. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. And there's a verse, it's that quaint verse of John Berridge. Hand in hand we would be walking, eyeing Jesus' new command. Of his love we'd e'er be talking till we reach fair Canaan's land. So first then, speaking rightly in everyday language. Secondly, in prayer. And then thirdly, in testimony and in praise. So just a few thoughts, really, as we come to prayer tonight. I hope things that perhaps we can take away and meditate upon. May we follow the example of these girls, young though they were, these daughters of Zelophehad. May we see by faith tonight the land of promise. Live, as it were, in the light of eternity itself, and then led by God's Holy Spirit, know what it is to speak right and to receive that commendation from Almighty God himself. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. Amen.